Hey, yo, what's up? On this episode, we have the good friend of mine, comedian and self-styled married swinger, Mitch Patel. We discuss what it's like to swing with your wife, how to be a good lover. I actually give some oral sex tips, letting go the ego, how to get over your trust and the value of trust in relationships. I also would love it if you guys, we do some really in-depth stuff behind the scenes on the Patreon. If you want to check that out, go to manschool202. I'm sorry, go to www.patreon.com/manschool202. You can get on that and support us, man, because we really need you guys to help us support it so that we can keep making these shows and keep digging in.
And this week's Patreon episode, Dante goes into some more detail about what's going on in his personal life and the divorce and what's going on with the baby. And it gets intense, but it's good. But it's all behind the Patreon wall, patreon.com/manschool202. Come and support us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. We got a special guest in the building, a good friend of mine, but I want to first and foremost, Harry, how you doing, bro? You ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely. Other than having a tough time keeping these gators down, I'm doing great.
Difficult. Pimping ain't easy, but if you practice, it gets easy. Just like ping pong. let me get to my guest.
Pimping is just like ping pong. It's exactly like ping pong.
I mean, there is paddles in it. Listen, this dude's a good friend of mine. Funny, funny dude. He's been on everything, Comedy Central, all kinds of shit. We've been friends for a long time. I don't get to see him nearly enough. Like, I'm gonna repeat what he said to me. He's one of the few dudes that I like in this business. Give it up for Mitch Patel, yo. Give it up for Mitch. What's going on, brother?
Thanks, guys. Look at my little blue penis.
Mitch still married to the same lady.
I'm married to a beautiful lady who probably should not be married to me. Every day, we've been married 8 years now. I still am shocked every time I walk into the kitchen that I'm like, oh my God, you're still here.
Right. Now, Mitch, back in the days, y'all were... let me just say this for the record. I'm not gonna get into it, but Mitch has a fucking stat sheet. Like, Mitch used to put him down. He put a lot of points on the board back in the days.
Dude, I'll tell you something. I used to think that I was like pretty good.
No, you were.
No, until I had Greg Fitzsimmons on my show.
Really?
I had a podcast and Greg Fitzsimmons came on, and he's in the thousands. He's in the thousands. I'm in the hundreds low. He's in the thousands.
You know what it is? It's that flat cap. It's that plaid flat cap that gets him laid. Yeah.
No, I definitely got my share of STDs, but nothing like Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, but you knocked down some bangers, you know what I mean? Like
I did
some pinnacle bangers. We won't get into it, but you definitely knocked
down
some...
Are you saying, Dante, not just quantity, but quality as well?
Yeah, he took down some jammies, you know what I mean? Some iconic figures. But Mitch, now when you... I remember, I think it's the same wife, but y'all were kind of swinging a little bit in the beginning, yes?
Yeah, we still do that. It's slowed down a lot because of the child.
Right. How old is the baby?
4.
Nice.
He's 4, and he slowed us down. I wouldn't say we're swingers. Swingers are those people that go to like parties and just pull up their tops and start having sex with people. We are like selectively, if there's another hot couple and we get along with them. Like, we will definitely, like, have some fun.
So kind of like a soft, what we would call a soft swing. Like a soft, you know, soft or selective swing.
It's perverted no matter what it is. But it's definitely not. Yeah, it's not good.
It's funny because I remember back in the days when you met her and you were a happy dude. It was like, you know, the fact that you're, I mean, I think, you know, she was a little bit into girls. She was into girls too, but more like, I think when we talked about it, I think she was like 60-40 girls to men. Like, she liked dudes more, but she liked
girls. You remember everything. Nice.
Yeah,
my wife. You fucked my wife, didn't you?
No, never. I'd let you know if I did, but I didn't. And that, she's a banger, Harry.
Although she would like you. You're a flavor. Jess likes flavor. She likes to try out different kinds of flavors.
Yeah. Well, she and I remember how happy you were because, I mean, you had a lot of traditional relationships. And then when you met her, it was just really I remember how happy you were, you know.
Well, here's the question. Are you guys married?
Who? Me Both and Harry?
Yeah.
Oh, I am now. Yeah.
No, not anymore. And, no.
Yeah. I don't think marriages work otherwise. I think either people start cheating or they just get bored.
Get bored and resent the person.
I think swinging or not swinging, it's not even an open relationship. It's just opening up the doors to like you know how like this is how I look at it. You know how sometimes you're at a friend's house and you're looking at his wife while she takes the turkey out of the oven and you're like, man, what would that be like?
Yeah,
well, we just go that extra step,
right?
So you don't have
and
to
you find out.
An affair. Yeah,
you find out.
Yeah, yeah, and. You know, and then you fuck her and the turkey and you have a blast.
Now, let me ask you this.
I'm going to Mitch's for Thanksgiving. That sounds like a hell of a.
You got to bring a hot wife.
Yeah.
You got to bring a hot wife.
I got a hot one.
Okay.
A girl. I got a hot girl. She's
a hot girl.
We don't have to be married. Is that part of the kink, Mitch?
Yeah.
We have to be married.
You have to be. Yeah, because if you're not married, you're not as committed to like how intense the lifestyle can be. Does that make sense?
No, explain.
Okay, so if you're married, you know what it... There's a certain respect you have for another guy and another guy's wife if you know that, like, both of you are committed. If it's real easy to get... If you haven't made that commitment, I really believe in that commitment. And if you haven't made that commitment, I wish I could make it more eloquent because
You're doing fine.
What it is. Yeah.
Keep going.
There's an understanding that if you're with a guy who's giving you his wife...
Yeah.
He understands what a big deal that is, and he has a certain respect for your wife that someone who's single doesn't feel for their partner because I believe that piece of paper makes it really hard to break up. So you're forced to work on it more. Whereas I mean, I really do. I believe in the institution of marriage. I believe in the institution of marriage within this lifestyle that you should be with other couples and everybody could sort of share their body parts, because the other way I feel like if you're single, that person is not as committed to you as a marriage because you can end that relationship.
It's kind of like the way somebody is a little more reckless with the rental car than one that they got.
Oh my God. That's Harry, I'm going to use that analogy.
Go for it.
Steal that from you.
Please.
You're right. You're gonna take care of your own car a little better than a rental car. I love that. I love it.
Now it's also kind of a thing where it's almost like I think also like because we had one of my boys came on. He's like a YouTube celebrity, right? And he's a fan of the show and a younger dude.
The great Sneeko, we could say his name.
Yeah, give it up to Sneeko. Sneeko,
he wants the publicity. It's not secret. Right. He was on the show. We broadcast it.
Right, right. And he, you know, he's a young dude. Like, and he's 22, and he went to a swinger sex party.
Yeah.
And he wanted to kind of touch this out, but his girl is young and smoking hot, right? And then, so he went there and then he was like, everybody wanted to fuck my girl. And then everybody else in there is like threes and fours. It's like he's at a naked supermarket. And every time he turned around, everybody's got their dick out hovering over his girl. And then he's fucking people's aunts, you know?
That's so apropos. Yeah. I love him already. Yeah. There's always like, there was this guy who used to come with his wife. I can't do names, but she was a fucking smoker. She was just a smoke show. And he said to me, And my wife is hot, so I don't have to worry. But he said he hates going out to these parties because of the same reason. Since everybody keeps trying to fuck his wife constantly.
Yeah. Right.
And he gets it. But, you know, and the other thing is he only had an average penis. So all these guys were trying to impress his girl by showing how big their penis was. And right. quite honestly, in this lifestyle, like, that's not
doesn't matter.
To girls. They can fuck whoever they want. So they don't give a shit. And that's kind of like a turnoff to a girl in the lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's I'm going to tell you, like, I did a little soft swinging, like, where I, you know, I would
like
bring another girl in or whatever, or I would go somebody she was interested in, I would fuck her. But it was funny like that. I feel like I've been in situations where like it was like two, like me and my boy and on a girl. And what I find is I don't even like that because it's always tends to be this. It's kind of like riding a motorcycle. Like you can't have too many testicles, and somebody's going to get into an accident when you have that many balls around because everybody's trying to one up everybody. So
yeah, I tend to agree with you on that, and that's the problem with isn't that the problem with just mankind
everything.
And womankind everything. Is like everybody's trying to compete in everything, and it's just such a fucking waste of time. And I saw somebody. I wrote a quote down that I try to look at every day and remember, and it said, comparison is the death of pleasure.
Mm, right.
That when you're just in your head so much, you can't just enjoy your life.
Yes. Yeah.
We're always trying to one up the next guy. And then you finally come to the conclusion where you're like, there comes a great point in your life where you reach a certain age and it hits you. There's always going to be someone better than you, funnier than you, bigger dick than you. And there's always going to be someone that's got a smaller dick than you. That's not as funny as you.
Right.
It's not as successful. And it's just fucking worthless to just obsess over it. Cause it's just a part of it. So every now and then in the lifestyle, we meet a couple where the husband is just a beautiful human being.
Right.
And he's a good guy. And those are the couples that we tend to like hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's like the removal of the ego in this in any of those sexual situations. It's funny. I got a call from a guy. So I do like relationship counseling and stuff. Yeah. I've been doing it for about 5-6 years now, and I had this kid, and he was he called me up, and he was like, he went down on this girl. He thought he was like 24 years old. Went down on this girl, and he thought he was a master of eating pussy, right? And he says he asked the girl, how was I, you know? Because he figured he was gonna, you know, like, first of all, you don't never ask that. But she was like, like a 6, right? And so he was blown away because he was a 6. So he called me up for pussy eating advice. And so now I'm trying to articulate what this is and what it is. Being a good lover in general is being present. It's so how do you teach somebody how to be present and how to pay attention?
I love that.
So what I do is when I try to teach that, what I've learned is that. I teach them is that you have to remove the variables of so if you're eating pussy, there's multiple variables, meaning for whatever girl you're dealing with, some like direct contact with the tongue, some like on the hood, some like small circles, some like underneath the hood, some want pressure, some want soft and then pressure. And you have to figure that out. And the only way you can figure that out is if you watch her diaphragm, if you watch her breathing. Her breathing is the telltale. That's where you know where you're in the ballpark. So I always was thinking about how do you get to the point where you can remove as many variables as possible. First thing, movement, her movement and your movement creates a whole nother variable. So what I was telling him, what I do is I'll mount my teeth on the mound, you know, the pussy mound, right?
Yeah, right. This is brilliant.
right? So that keeps your mouth in one place, right?
Right.
The way you stick your tongue in or out, you can control pressure by how far you stick your tongue out or how far you stick it retracted in, like, or you're like, like that. The other thing is I lay on top of her legs, slightly open, so I eliminate her movement. So if she's squirming on movement, I can see.
You can stay mounted.
Yes, yes. And so as I'm more in the right place, what she'll do usually, she'll tighten her butt cheeks and she'll raise her, as she tightens her butt cheeks, her pussy will raise towards you, whereas you give, you know that she wants more pressure.
Yeah.
So it's a, it's sort of a steady kind of lick. And then you, when the diaphragm gets deeper, then you can adjust pressure. So now you, you got movement is moved out of the way. Your movement is because you're laying on top. Her movement is moved out of the way because she's pinned down. And all she has is these little movements. Then all you have to do is read her movement. Then your, the way you get her to come is you got to be a, one half a step ahead of her. So, and you'll know what I mean because I can see you concentrating. So, like,
I love this. I love
when,
it.
When she tightens her butt buttocks and
hold
pushes.
On, let me take off my pants while you're talking.
All right, cool. The, when she has the.
Oh, he did.
When she, when she's pushing forward and you're meeting her pressure, your job is to be a half a second so that you pull away before she pulls away. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's an art.
Right.
I get it.
So she pulls back just and you, and then that forces it. So it doesn't get her to the point where it's so intense that she pulls away. You're pulling away first, which
it's
makes
a little
her.
Bit, people yes! are forgetting. But by the way, what you're saying, two things, is apropos of everything.
Yes.
When you write a joke.
Yes.
If you hit people over the head, I see too many people come out and they tell a joke. And then I farted on her face. And you're like, okay, that you just hit them over the head with it.
Right, right.
The best kind of jokes are the jokes that have a little bit of subtlety and yes. then hit slowly. And then just yes. as the people are coming to you, you pull away a little. So
yes.
So,
yeah.
so that's apropos of everything.
Absolutely.
The other thing is just on the subject of cunnilingus, what people have to also realize is this, and this is, makes it a little easier to understand as well. If I can give my little piece of advice.
Sure, sure.
Do you know that physically we all start out in the womb as women?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Absolutely.
That's why we have nipples. We have nipples because
we might
start
need
out
them.
As girls.
We might need them later.
and if the chromosomes align and you're going to be a girl, then those turn into breasts. What I'm basically getting at is the clitoris is a mini penis.
Yes.
It really is. I mean,
right.
yeah. much yeah, yeah. it's
well,
it would
if you see
it
if you ever, see like a bodybuilder chick, her clitoris will look like a dick. Like if she's
and
doing heavy right. juice, it'll look like a dick.
Right. And if you are a boy, that clitoris turns into a penis. So
right.
when you think to yourself, and my wife explained this to me, when you think to yourself, a girl doesn't lick your dick from the top. She licks underneath where it's sensitive, the,
right.
the glands is where she licks. Well, if you think of it as a little penis and you just go in and you just start rubbing
yeah.
all over, it overwhelms it.
Yes.
But when
yes.
you when you think about it like a little penis and you get underneath and you think what you would like, would you like,
right.
you know, my wife explained, you lick up the shaft of it a little, you
yeah.
suck on it a little, you play a little, but it's the guys that just go in and they just go crazy.
Oh,
that would work on your dick.
Let me get my pants. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
I got news for both of you. I didn't start with pants on. That's
you knew the way this was going.
I always go sans pants.
but there it is. And so I believe, and that's kind of brilliant, Dante, is that like everything in life comes down to subtlety, I think.
Yes.
And even
yes.
even today's porno. I don't know if
well, I would say, let me push back on it. Extraordinary greatness comes down to subtlety.
Subtleties.
The comic that is right in the strike zone, just right in the pocket, is the one that we perceive as the greatest.
and everything, even the best football players, player, they have that. It's not forcing stuff. And and I believe that, and so that was what you were saying, which is if you're not present and you're not in the moment, then you're going to tend to forget all that because you just want to
be. You're not picking up any of those signals. So you're all over the place. So you have no direction because you're not picking up anything. You're just, this is what I'm, what I do.
And one of the things that I wrestle with as a human being is I was very, very, I don't know how you are, Dante, or where you're at in your life, but I was very competitive as a kid. It wasn't that I had to be a comic. I had to be the best comic. And I had to be, I even look back now at some of the guys I started with, and I feel so bad that I was in so much competition with them rather than just enjoying their talents and enjoying what they did. And
like who?
I mean, like all the guys I started with, Mark Maron, Louis C.K., well, those are my favorites. Yeah. Everyone.
I mean, Colin, Colin. He's a little older than you, right?
You know who I told on my podcast that I wish I had been, I wish I had started out with him because I would have enjoyed his talent more, was Jim Norton.
Right.
Jim Norton was my peer. We started out together. So I was always in this, I got this TV show, blah, 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 blah. Instead of going like, and then I got older and I got some shows under my belt and I started to feel confident about myself. And then one day I was watching Jim Norton and I was like, man, that guy's fucking brilliant. Like, why did I not notice that? Why did I not notice that all these people, because I was so in my head.
Why wasn't I present?
And ultimately you become better at everything you do once you stop going, I have to compete with everybody and I can just kind of go with the flow of like whatever talents I've been given and letting those flourish.
And I think what happens is when you look at guys like that, like some of my, you know, my favorites was Maron. I really like Maron. I really like the Tell, and I really like Patrice was like, and those are very different kinds of comics, but
all masters, though.
But all very, like you said, these subtle nuances. And when you're talking about, but it's interesting you said that. You know, I don't know if you know Nathan McIntyre. You know Nate?
I don't know him.
Okay, so he's a younger dude, but he's really good, really funny dude. Like, you would enjoy him. Just very good at what he does. And he was like, yeah, what are we going to do? We keep doing this shit. Like, what are we just going to keep doing spots? And we go on the road and then I'm going to start a podcast. And I go, Doug, you're so busy looking up at what you're trying. You have never even looked down to see how high you've gotten to even appreciate the fact that we get to do this thing that we love in a real way and enjoy doing it and still, you know, still get off on the subtleties and still getting better. I mean, one thing about you, because I started way after you. I didn't start till 2000, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So I got 20 in, but I used to watch you and you used to do these really subtle things. So it's like a lot what you're talking about in sex. It's the same thing. If you go to the nth extreme, then where do you go from there? You'll never find the sweet spot of it, you know? And I think sex is the same way. I find that even with threesomes, I'm not saying I wouldn't do a threesome. I'm just saying I don't want to be a conductor of two women and trying to keep the plates spinning. I would want a threesome with women who are present into me and into each other. So it's that real, those real moments. Like when you're saying you met this guy who's a really good guy, his wife is a smoke show, and you can really push that ego aside and kind of enjoy and be present.
I'll tell you a great story about threesomes. So I don't think I've ever told this story. So about maybe 8 years ago when my wife and I were starting to date, 10 years ago, she was open to a lot of stuff, and we went to a strip club, and there was one of those gorgeous strippers that you're like, that human being shouldn't even be allowed to walk the earth. She's just so hot. And, and my wife went over to tip her. She's on stage and went over to tip her. She's gorgeous, half Jamaican, half Italian girl. Her name was Giovanna. I'll remember her forever. Right. Anyway, she was just stunning. She was a 10. My wife went over to tip her, and my, and she, Giovanna said to my wife, I'm trying to make the story fast, but it's really sexy. Giovanna said to my wife, fuck you, while she was giving her a dollar bill. And my wife was like, what do you mean, fuck you? And Giovanna said, you're just like all these chicks. You're going to come in here. You're going to act like you're into women. You're going to flirt with me. And then you're just going to go home. You don't have any interest in this or whatever. And my wife was like, you're talking to the wrong girl, sweetie. So Jess, my wife, said to her, I'll actually, if you want to prove this, she says, why don't you come back to our room? We got room here. Come back to our room. The stripper said to my wife, I'll come back to the room, but I don't want to have sex with your husband. I just want to have sex with you. Will he be a good boy? Will he just watch and enjoy the show? Right. My wife said, Mitch is classy. He's a good guy. And I was like, listen, I don't have to do anything. If I could just watch you and my wife have sex, I'd be good and happy. We go back to the hotel. My wife and I start having sex. And what usually happens with a stripper or any girl is once they really notice that you're a gentleman, they almost want to reward that. Like, it's like, because they're so used to, especially strippers,
people crossing the line and
just being groped and begged and money and blah, blah, blah. And I really kept my word. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Giovanna goes, tell your husband to get undressed and come join us. So I was like, I didn't expect it. I really didn't expect it. Talk about subtlety. Anyway, the story goes, I got undressed, and Giovanna started to jerk me off, and I came within a minute. I couldn't even fuck. Like, I just, because it was just the excitement.
She was just, right. So perfect.
Well, not only that, but when you don't think something's going to happen, and then all of a sudden it's over. And I was able to get hard about 10 minutes after that, and everything was great. We had a great time, and it was a great night. But the next day I said to my wife, I'm so embarrassed that I came so fast with Giovanna. Like, she just took me in her hand, and all of a sudden I just started coming. And my wife said, Mitch, it's so funny how guys are in their head about that. She goes, that's like the biggest compliment you could give Giovanna.
Yeah.
Is that she's just so fucking hot.
All you gotta do is touch you.
You couldn't even control yourself. Yeah. Right. She's like, that's a woman's power, is to know she had. She goes, that didn't make her, like, guys get in their head, like, that didn't make her think, like, oh, this pussy just came. Like, what a fucking fag. Like, it was just like what she thought was like, yeah, I'm fucking hot as shit that this guy, when I allowed him to come join us. And then after that, we had the greatest sex, because she was just so, you know, when girls do that, they're not doing it because they need to get, because they could get laid 1,000 times. Sure. They're doing it because they want to give you a gift.
Right.
And if you're the guy going, I'm going to show you how long I can hold out, and I'm going to show you how good I can fuck you, and blah, blah, blah. Giovanna was just so impressed by what a gentleman I was, and also just letting myself go. And so I guess what I'm getting at is that whole spinning the things is like, if you just kind of relax and give women their power, they'll repay you in a really beautiful way.
Yeah. And I think it's also a matter of you going, it's like getting in an Uber car that with a guy that you know knows how to drive, you know, like if he's trying to get into traffic, he's like, there's a level of trust. I say this all the time, and we talk about this on the podcast all the time. It's three principles that we always try to live by. It's an acronym called ACE. It's authenticity, credibility, and empathy. Tell the truth. So it's like, you go, listen, if I can watch, which is the truth. Credibility is keeping your word, not getting there and changing up. So there's no, she doesn't have to feel as though you're untrustworthy. And then empathy, it's like all those things that you said about strippers and what they have to go through, just your ability to put yourself in her position of all the things that she has to go through and what's where her head is at. It makes you so much more attractive. Because you can have a guy who's got a six pack with cum gutters, and he's a douchebag. And initially the bells and whistles get you because he's hot, but then you're like, you're a fucking asshole. You know,
And there's nothing that makes someone more unattractive immediately, no matter how attractive they are, than being a scumbag, than not keeping your word. I mean, and also, you know, my wife had vouched for me. This girl, trust, I'm a really, really big believer. I love trust.
Yeah.
I love trust. Trust is a beautiful thing. I hate that we have to sign agreements for everything now. I hate it because it's turned us into a society where we can't just sit. Like, a lot of times if somebody comes over my house to fix something, mm-hmm. and they walk in and I just feel they're a nice guy and they go, well, I would do this, I would do this. I always go, I trust you. You do what's going to be best for my family. And you could tell that they almost, like, when you give like, that to
whoa.
Somebody.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you're going to get such a dirt bag that they're going to be like, oh man, I can screw this guy. And in my mind, if they do screw me over, well, it's their loss because I was letting them know I could have trusted them. And so I like to be that to other people as well.
Yeah,
I like to be that guy that I'm like, you can trust me. So when we brought her back, I was like, and then also the other thing about it is this, strippers are so used to getting asked to do everything that it was almost kind of weird to her that I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
She's
right.
She's like, and that almost becomes really sexy that like, oh, this guy like doesn't, he's not pushing. Like, I kind of want to see what, if I can get him now.
So. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's, I think it's also you understanding what your value is and just understanding that your value is in your personal credibility and the truth of what your word is. It's that, I mean, there's nothing more attractive than that. I mean, a woman finds, because the untrustworthy, I use this analogy sometimes, you know, remember when Dane Cook, when his brother stole $11 million from him, right?
Yeah, of course I do.
I always say, wouldn't he have paid $10 million to get somebody that could do that job and not fuck up his family? You know what I mean? Just he would have paid a guy $10 million to not have the theft and have to put his brother in jail and his family was in a disarray. Like that was worth $11 million. That might have been worth $15 million, really, if you think about just that level of trustworthy. So it's interesting, you know, that you talk about Harry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all good. I was gonna ask Mitch, and how were you able to let go of the ego to get in that place, because guys get in their heads?
I think isn't life just a process of constantly going, I'm gonna try, you know, one of the reasons I like doing my UFC podcast that I don't do anymore was learning about the mentality of fighters, because fighters, no matter how much they prepare, no matter how much they think they're going to win, no matter how much they do everything, they just know that eventually they're going to be knocked out. And I'm a big fan of, and I never thought I would, but there's a fighter that I'm sure a lot of people know named Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
And Nate Diaz is a fighter who I never liked. He always is brash and yells at people and stuff. And I always thought, like, man, his ego's too big. Until one day I saw him talking about the fight game. And I likened it to everything in life, especially what we do. And what he said was, they said to him, are you scared when you go into a fight? And he said, no. And he said, I'm not scared because, and this is kind of brilliant, I expect to be knocked out. And that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but he said, I know that I'm going into an arena with people of the utmost talent. And one of us is going to get knocked out. And I'm smart enough to know that, like, I could be that guy.
Yeah.
And I've been knocked out. And he said, and when I was knocked out, it's the worst feeling you could imagine. He goes, you go down, you don't know what's happening. You get up, the crowd is cheering, you're confused. You've just been knocked out on a video that's going to be on YouTube for the rest of your existence. People are going to be watching you get knocked out. He goes, and once that's happened, you go, oh, okay. I'm still alive. I got through it and I'm going to fight the next day. And I'm maybe going to be the guy that does that to another guy.
Right.
And he said, so once you go, that's the worst that can possibly happen.
Yeah.
And I can live through it.
Right.
Then he said, that's when you can start to fight. Cause you go, okay, now I know I can lose. Cause there's these guys that go in and go, I can't lose. I can't lose. That when they do lose, they're like, fuck, like now I'm nothing. Cause he goes, so in a weird sort of way, like letting go of my ego, like you asked Harry, is maybe going in my mind going, what's the worst that could possibly happen in these situations? You can maybe not get hard. You can come too fast. You can have a girl mock you, you know, and I've had all that happen. And, mm-hmm. and I still was able to go in and have fun with other girls. And so you start to learn that, like, a part of the process is the bad and the good. So letting go of your ego is understanding that, like, no matter how good you are, you're gonna fucking knock it hard one day. Yeah. You're gonna get knocked out. And yeah. One day you're gonna just be a hero and you're gonna fuck three girls with this great fucking big erection and you're gonna feel like a hero. Right. But until you accept that, like, that's a part of everything, that's how I think you let go of your ego. It's by understanding that that's a part of being human, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Conor McGregor didn't want to admit it, and all he keeps doing is getting humiliated now.
Right.
He kept saying he would never be beat.
Right.
And he's getting the shit beat out of him.
Right, right. And Nate Diaz is a good, like, Nate Diaz is a warrior, like, in the sense of, like, Jesus, like, when you watch that guy, he's bloody and swole, and he's still, because he's all in, which is funny because the same thing is true. You don't get funny until you stop giving a fuck.
And until you freaking eaten so much shit.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And the thing about that too is even in the context of women, right? In the context of women, you don't really start getting what you deserve until you're willing to walk away from something because it doesn't feel good to you. You're not looking at somebody else's value in the context. You know you're bringing something to the table, even if it's just honesty and truth and credibility and empathy and kindness and those things. If you know you're bringing that and you understand the value of that, first of all, I think we don't understand the value of that. Which is so interesting when you said about, you know, guy comes to fix the house. I always say there's an analogy that I use is that my honesty sharpens your truth. That my ability to give
That's
you
beautiful.
Honesty, beautiful. Beautiful. Give you this honesty puts a burden on you. That this is a gift I'm giving you and you need to be responsible. Now, you could be a dick. And this is the thing. You could be a dick and take that and discard it like it's worthless. But that's your loss because you'll never get that trust again. Like, it's such a rare thing. Yeah. It's such an amazing gift.
And do you want to be that person that takes that from the world?
Like,
you know, I don't want to get dark, but I have a child now and he's 4 years old. And after having a child now, I don't think I've ever been more horrified by child molesters. And the reason being, because when I look at my son, who's 4 years old, the trust that he has in me and adults and the world is so beautiful. It's so pristine. It's so perfect. And I think a human being that can take advantage of that innocence, it's that personality that you go, like, what kind of person goes, I'm gonna take from the world so much that when someone gives me that much innocence, I'm going to make them pay for that.
Right.
And that's why. And so I love what you just said, that what you, if you give someone that and they're willing to take it, that says so much more about how dead of a human being they are.
Yeah.
That you don't lose. My wife and I always say that, you know, my wife and I always say that it's the person in the relationship. Like, we don't cheat on each other. We did in the beginning of our relationship and we admitted it. And then we both said to each other, okay, we're starting right now in the clear. Who's going to be the one to fuck it up? Who's going to be the one? And both of us said, like, especially since we are allowed to have sex with other people, like, why would we fuck up that kind of trust now?
Yeah.
And so we always try to remember that like, and that's a beautiful thing that you said, that it's like, what, and how did you word it?
I said, my honesty sharpens your truth.
Yeah, and I love that because you're not the fool when someone takes advantage of that.
Yeah.
The little child is not the fool when someone takes advantage of their
innocence. No, it's the person that takes advantage that's the dirtbag. And but you also find that, like, you know, everybody says hurt people, you know, and usually this is a circulating thing, something that happened to them. And what's interesting is I had a friend of mine whose father molested her up until she was 17. And it was a weird kind of thing because, I mean, dare I say, he was actually a good father in situations. Like, he taught her how to work on cars. He taught her how to shoot guns. He taught her how to do plumbing and put in boilers. And so what happened to her was she was really confused because that innocence, innocence was destroyed. But then there was this constant, you know, kind of building of this relation, this intimate relationship between her and all the things that he taught her and he shared with her and stuff. And so she was, so she could trust nobody, because even when somebody exhibited trustworthy, you know, trustworthy characteristics, she couldn't trust it because her father gave her both. And they moved it. They got married. She married her husband, and she never trusted him. I mean, he was a guy who didn't cheat at all. But here's the crazy thing. She was molested in the home. They ultimately had a ranch house out in Jersey that was his house. And he was a cop. He used to take, like, he was a really good cop, or a supposedly good cop. He would take, like, inner city kids out there and stuff, and he would molest them, right? But he would expose them to camping and fishing. It's like, oh, well, you know, good on this, you know. But the funny thing was, even as a grown woman now, she will not clean the house. Like, there's a, her house, the inside of the house is a fucking mess. Because it's almost, it's like the representation of her taking care of that house is where this trap, where her, where the innocent was taken from her.
Amazing. Human beings are amazing.
And then on the outside, though, the lawn, the hedges, the walkway, the impeccable.
Wow.
Like, she'd get on a rider mower and mow the whole place. And the and what a metaphor of that is that there's all this mess and all this pain inside the house.
Inside and the
but
outside.
But on the outside is pristine and beautiful. And it was a metaphor for her, you know, for her self-esteem and for her pain and all this stuff. And then I think the other thing is, it's funny when you talk about that, I always say this, you know, you go through this trauma. You know, when you know, you get, like you're talking about a 4-year-old or 11-year-old or something, you go through this trauma and then you're forced to survive with a very limited amount of understanding about how to deal with trauma. So maybe you come up with in your, in order to move forward, well, I must have done something to make this happen. And you take that guilt. Then you're 40 and you've learned so much more that it really wasn't your fault, but you never reassessed the tragedy and the pain from the perspective of you as a 40-year-old. You're still using the solution that helped you move forward as an 11-year-old.
Yeah, because those connections in your brain
are
so powerful. And I think that's, I was abused, not sexually, emotionally abused by my mom.
Right.
And having a son now, I see how beautiful my job is, that, like, you know, my son just caused $10,000 worth of damage in our house by flushing a ton of shit down the toilet that wasn't supposed to flush, and the pipe burst and it started leaking, and it's $10,000 worth of damage. And my son kept saying, "Daddy, I'm sorry." And I thought to myself, it's so interesting, because at that point, I could choose a path. This is how powerful we are, of fucking him up for life by going, "How fucking stupid are you? Yeah. You'd flush your fucking Legos down the toilet." Or I could say, which I did say to my wife, because we had to calm ourselves down because it's $10,000 worth of damage.
Right.
Part of having a kid, part of the responsibility of having a kid, is you understand that your life is going to now be ensconced in chaos because you're starting with somebody who doesn't know the rules. Yeah. So when you look at his little brain and you have Legos and you're like, what would happen if this, that's a natural thing to do.
Yeah.
So I said, so all my wife and I did was make a decision to tell him nothing goes down the toilet from now on ever, except toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And if it does,
not too much of that.
Right.
And a limited amount.
But on the other hand, every time he apologizes, now we both say to him, "Max, you don't have to apologize. No, you didn't know then. Nobody told you that. How could you have known? But now we've told you." And so he's going on his little life and this incident that could have been traumatic to him.
Yes.
Because he could have remembered it forever if daddy kept going, "What the fuck do you throw?" You know, that kind of stuff. All of a sudden now it's turned into me saying to him, like, "No, that was a learning experience." And it's tough to do when you.
But right, because you're angry. Because you're angry and you're making this decision on emotion.
because $10,000 is a trip to the Bahamas where mommy and daddy can fuck other people. That's gone now. And so
because of your Legos.
That does make it hurt a little bit more.
Because of your Legos. Your Legos cost us this year.
We got cock blocked by your Legos.
But your Legos have affected daddy's sex life really bad now. So, but you do understand at that point the power that I could have attained. It's this situation has become just a sweet little funny story now that we tell people.
Right.
And he's going to laugh about it one day.
Yeah.
And so you're right. That parent, that shame on that parent, because what he did to her is her world now. That's what wired her brain.
Yeah.
People can be nice to you, but they can still take advantage of you. So why would you ever trust anybody?
Right.
It's a mind fuck, and it's beautiful and scary, the power that we have as older people. It's beautiful and scary, and it's so scary to me when people use it against the innocents. And someone once said to me, like, you know, once you've known that someone can fuck over other people, be very worrisome of them being your friend.
Yeah.
Because if they, you know what I'm saying? They're the kind of people that there's something missing in them that your trust doesn't mean anything.
Right. I had a guy that I was counseling, and he had this, there was this young, like, he's 55, and so he had never really done threesomes, and like he started like kind of studying under me, and then all of a sudden I got him into threesomes and all this stuff, and I was just teaching him the rules of engagement, and then he had a friend of his, he had this 24-year-old hot like chick from Ecuador, and she was smoking hot, and she was arrogant, and she's kind of like, oh, I'm hot in him, and you could tell she was just very ungrateful, and she was he was like, she wanted to know if he was dating somebody else, anybody else. And he go, yeah, I'm dating people. And she was like, well, that can't happen. And da, 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 da. You know, she was just very young and arrogant. And he said, you know what? I'm okay. Let me just pay for your drinks and I'm going to go. Right. Now, you know what happened. She never stopped chasing him. First of all. But the other thing was, he spoke to his friend, the guy who was his friend. He was like, why didn't you just lie to her, 24-year-old hot girl? And I said to him, I said, do you understand that all you need to do is have a situation where pussy is at the other end of the scale of your friendship and your trust in him? And he will betray you. He's telling you, I would have lied to this girl and not told the truth to get whatever I want.
You get what I want? Wow, yeah, very true.
And so all you need to do is, this is a funny thing, because I don't know if you remember, but I was a male stripper for 10 years before I did.
I do remember that.
Right. But I always say that I never, before anybody wanted to pay to fuck me, I used to always say, I'm not a prostitute. I don't sell my body. Now, I set those boundaries up before anybody wanted to buy the product, right? And I had said it so much that was the standard. So anytime anybody would say, oh, do you ever do extras? I go, I don't sell my body. If I'm interested in somebody, I'll have sex with them, but I will not accept money directly for sexual favors. And they always, well, why not? And I was like, once you know that old joke, would you fuck me for $1 million? Of course. Then he goes, what? You go, would you fuck me for $10? You go, what do you think I am? We've already decided what you are. You're a prostitute. We're just negotiating price. You know, that old joke. Well, the point is, once you cross that line, you have left yourself open to be a $10 hooker. You just all. So now here's the scenario. Say all of a sudden you have a problem. You end up in a drug situation, and a $10 hit is as important as $1 million emotionally. Why wouldn't you? You've opened that door. You can always cross that. You can always cross that line. You can always cross that door again and again and again. And so those boundaries and the principles that you pull, because even if you bend your principles for the benefit of your significant other, they benefited in an instant, The problem is that now they know you will bend your principles. Just because they benefit from it, but the overall theme is
it won't be for you.
You're a guy who has no credibility.
Yeah,
even if it's just for her benefit, you know what I mean?
And I think that's really telling, because when I told you that we brought, and Harry, I appreciate you saying, I know we have to wrap up, but I'm gonna keep talking, and I'm just gonna rush through traffic to get my kid.
It's all good. It's all for you, Mitch.
I'm pissed at him anyway because of the fucking Lego, so he can wait at preschool for a couple hours.
Got to teach him a little lesson. That's all.
But Dante brought up something. That Giovanna, the stripper we brought back. Uh-huh. I always remember that because my wife was a stripper. Mm-hmm. And she had said that the reason why Giovanna fucked you, and by the way, look at me. I'm 5'5". She didn't know I was a comedian. She wasn't attracted to me. She was attracted to my wife. She's offered thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for her body every day. Mm-hmm. What my wife said to me is the fact that you empowered her, that you didn't once insult her and be like, how about I just give you an extra $500 and you let me fuck you with my wife? That you never put, because that's taking the power away from her. Because once you've made that decision, she has to have sex with you because she's made the decision that she's going to take $500. So it's a transaction. But because I didn't offer, she was so empowered to go, this is my choice to give him this gift.
Right.
I'm not. So that's another thing that I had gotten is that I never ever tried to entice her, and we were giving her tons of coke. We were all coked up. We were all doing a lot of drugs, but never once did I tell her like, well, what are you going to do for another bump? Like, we were just sharing ourselves with her.
Yeah.
And I think that empowered her. And when you empower another person, they all of a sudden really appreciate that there's no transaction going on, that all of a sudden the power is taken away. Because when you pay a girl for sex, make no mistake, you've taken all the power away from her. She's accepted that she has to do this no matter what.
Right. That is probably the most redeeming cocaine, drugs, and stripper fucking story I've ever heard in my life. Mitch, plug your stuff, man. Anything you want to plug, anything you can...
I have a special coming out in probably February or March. I feel really bad that we weren't able to talk the whole complement of time. So if you promise me, if you guys like me, let's do it again in February. I'll come on in February.
I'd love that, man. So dope, man.
I love you too.
Man, it's good to see you.
And you probably don't remember this, but I remember I paid you $5 for a blowjob very early on.
I was young. I had
you were coked up. You know,
a lot of $5 bills passed through at that time.
But I'd love to get back on and do the full complement of time with you, and then I'll plug my special and everything, and we can have some more fun.
I would love that, Mitch. It's so good to see you, man. I'm so happy for you, bro, and it's so very good to see you. Good, warm feeling, bro. Thank you, bro.
Thanks for doing
it, man. Go get that little pipe wrecker.
Yeah, he's sleeping in the garage for the next couple months. So.
Good to see you. Tell your wife I said hey. I don't know if she'll remember me, but tell her I said hey anyway.
I will, Dante. I love seeing you, man.